Well, good morning. So today I'm actually going to finish up this section, and we're going to go on to a new section. You know, this is what's called the non-doctrinal section of the book of Romans. But there's just a tremendous amount about Paul's life. So I've titled this Preaching Where Christ Was Not Named. So that's going to be an interesting thing today. Is that to be, I'll just kind of give you a little taste, is that to be the model of evangelism? Should all evangelists be, should that be their focus? Think about that question. We'll answer that question. Should that be the focus of evangelists we send out? Okay, so here we go. So let's go back. I used this chart a couple weeks ago. So this is the outline of 14 through 33, the end of all of chapter 15, and then all of chapter 16. We're down to the very end. It's going to go quickly here. In about 6 weeks, we'll be done with this section. And we'll talk about what's coming up after that. Some of you guys already know, but anyway, here we go. Okay, so this verse was read. This is Paul's persuasion. You know, just a beautiful passage. I got to teach that a couple weeks ago. You know, Paul, he talked about the church at Rome. He said, you're full of three, there are three characteristics of the church at Rome. And I think this is three characteristics of any church that knows who they are in Christ and is walking by the Spirit. I think they can have these three characteristics. That they are, he says, they're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Just, you think, well, I can't do that. And you're right. You can't do it. Only the Lord through you, through the Holy Spirit, can do that in your life. So that's 14. Then 15 has been this section we've worked on for the last couple weeks, talking about Paul's ministry. You know what we find in those verses? If you look carefully, it's directed talking to the Gentile nations, I'll call them. It's talking about God's working with the Gentile nations. And it actually gives more information. Remember, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. It gives us probably more information about that ministry than we have in many other places. So we're going to finish it out today. And then in coming weeks, and then the following week, we're going to talk about Paul's desire. And his desire was, he had travel plans, right? He's a traveling man. He wanted to travel to Spain. I don't think he ever got there, from what I understand. And he wanted to go to Rome. He never got there either. But he had great travel plans. And we're going to see a picture of that. And then he had a request. He had a prayer request. He wanted you to pray for him. Like we asked for prayer, he pray for me. He wanted to pray that God would work through him for his ministry. And then a couple of the end points here. We have a couple benedictions. 5:33 is one. And then there's a cool benediction at the very end, three verses. One of the longer benedictions of Paul, maybe the longest, 16:25 through 27. And then we have kind of the salutation. And this is actually a cool section. I've been listening to Macaulay talk about this section. It's really talked all these different names of people, all these different families. And it's men and women, and especially this lady Phoebe. She apparently was the person that took Paul's letter to Rome. He entrusted it with a woman. Think about that. I know I'm kind of making a joke of that. But she was something to be reckoned with, apparently. She moved in the high places, and she was a trustworthy person to take Paul's letter to Rome. Okay, so we're going to concentrate on Paul's ministry. Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. I'm going to cover a little bit of what Mike covered last week. So let's look at, I try to look at complete sentences. I want to do a complete sentence, and that complete sentence, I want to find out what's the main idea of that sentence, the main subject and verb. That's what I'm, and that's why these little diagrams I have. The goal is, and then from that main sentence, I want to see what's a modifier, what's happening here, and it helps me teach, it helps me understand the verse. Hopefully, it helps you understand the verse too. Okay, so here we go. So it's for, or literally, of course, I, Paul, will not dare. The dare is the interlinear translation of the Greek word. I think it's probably a little bit more to the point. I will not dare to speak of anything. We're going to see that. That's kind of an interesting phrase, to speak of anything except except what Christ has accomplished, what Christ has accomplished. So that's the main, in that sentence, what Christ has accomplished, the subject is Christ, has accomplished the verb. That's the main part of that sentence. What follows below that is what modifies or tells us more about what did Christ accomplish, okay? And Paul's going to say, I don't want to speak of anything. I want nothing in the way of talking about what Christ has accomplished. And it was through Paul. So he starts off, one of the modifier sections, one of the pictures here is that it is through me resulting in this obedience of the Gentiles. We're going to talk about that. What does the obedience of the Gentiles mean? What's that about? By word and work, or by word and deed, depending on your translation. So that's one set of modifiers. The other set of modifiers is in the power and power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit, and the order of these, I flip the order around a little bit. I flipped a little bit. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So he says, this is amazing. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That's like saying, I've completed the course, right? I've run the race. He said other places. He says, God asked him to do something, and he did that and completed that task. And he's saying, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That doesn't mean necessarily he talked to every person, all his travels, but he fully did what he believed God wanted him to do. And then he gives the area from Jerusalem through and about as far as Illyricum. I had to pronounce that with Vonnie a bunch of times. I may mispronounce it along the way. I'm sure you'll forgive me. Okay, here we go. All right, so that's a big picture. The center part is, this is Christ's accomplishments through Paul, and his direction was to this obedience of the Gentiles. And then the other path is, well, how could this happen? How could Christ accomplish that? And it is through the Holy Spirit, basically, and Paul's fully preaching it. So two different parts, but the main part is what Christ has accomplished. Okay, so let's get down into the details a little bit. For I, Paul, will not presume, that's the New American Standard word, or dare. And it's going to be a negative. I dare not be bold, not to venture. He doesn't want to go off the track to speak of anything. And I kind of got this last little thing is from McGee. This is the idea that to speak of anything, Paul never wanted, he wanted to only talk about what Christ did through him. You know, he could have talked about, as I mentioned, he didn't want to take credit for anybody else's work. And he didn't even want to, you know, and it's not because he was trying to show that he was the best guy in town. He just wanted to show that God was leading him and directing him. So he didn't want to take credit, like for Peter's work with Cornelius, with the Gentiles. He only talked about what Christ did through him. And except what Christ has accomplished, like I said, has accomplished to bring about, to work out. So here's our two strands of modifiers in a second here. So, and actually what you find the verb tense here is kind of interesting. It looks at you look at Paul's accomplishments with the Gentiles. He didn't speak with the Gentiles just one time, right? How many times did he speak with Gentiles? I mean, I haven't counted it, but it's a huge number, right? But this kind of looks at the whole package. God commissioned Paul to be his minister to the Gentiles, and he looks at this entire package as an event, and Paul accomplished that event is kind of the deal. And we see it documented through the whole New Testament. So the first string is that it was through me, through Paul, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles. And he was their instrument. Christ, through me is the idea. He was the instrument of Christ in Christ's hands, so to speak, the Amplified says. So Christ has accomplished obedience, or we could say, I think salvation would be a good word. The obedience, they trusted Christ as their Savior. But there's the caveat here, and it was by Christ's word and Christ's deeds. They trusted in Christ with his word and Christ living through their lives. Okay, so that's one strand, if you will. So let's go to the second strand. It's by power, by power of signs and wonders. So this is kind of interesting. This kind of shows up. So it's telling us this is how Paul accomplished that. And in the early church, signs and wonders were a big deal. Miracles were a big deal. As the New Testament was completed, they began to fade away. And today, we don't have that methodology, signs and wonders. But Paul did. So signs and wonders, this is Constable, I believe, signs and wonders is a phraseology, if you will, for miracles. Okay, so, and there's verses that talk about, so signs and wonders, they validated or accredited the message of God as it was proclaimed. So here's a verse in Acts, and we see that all through Acts, you guys have been studying Acts, all through Acts you see this many times. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people. And one of the commentaries I read talked about Paul never talked much about signs and wonders, right? He never bragged about signs and wonders because that would focus on him, right? He only wanted to focus on Christ. Once again, carrying out the idea of Christ working through him. The second strand, which kind of follows through this, kind of amplifies that. It's by the signs and wonders happened by the power of the Spirit. So this power is from the Holy Spirit, not Paul. And here's a verse that kind of helps you here. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is Paul speaking. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. So Paul's always focused on Christ is working in my life via the Holy Spirit. It's not, it's God's grace through me that's performing these signs and wonders. Okay, so let's carry on. So now, we're going to see the territory first, from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum. So this is Constable. I've seen different numbers. Not everybody agrees. So they say the area of Paul's ministry was about 1,400 miles. And it went from Jerusalem all the way to this place, this province of Illyricum, on the east side of the Adriatic Sea by Italy. We'll see a picture here in a second. I didn't get it from AI, though. Bob was showing his AI this morning. We actually asked for a picture of Wayne. We're picking on Wayne these days. Or Courtney. I say, AI, give me a picture of Courtney. Okay, never mind. Okay, I'll get to it. So here's this cool statement. I have fully preached. So the idea, it means he fully completed. He completed the ministry. Like I mentioned before, he fully completed the ministry. And this is maybe a parallel verse, if you will, using the same phraseology. Of this church, now this is Colossae, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out, same kind of fully carry out, fully preach, the preaching of the word of God. So Paul believed that he had fully, and I think it was true, because, it wasn't contradicted in Scripture, he fully carried out what God had for him. Because he said, I've run the race, the crown of glory waits for me. Pretty amazing. Okay, let's carry on here. So here's today's verses. We'll see our picture here in a bit. I'm a little bit ahead. I have a picture of this area for Paul in a second here. Okay, so here's the verses for today. Thus I aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who had not heard shall understand. So don't forget, we're talking about the Gentile nations. That's kind of important to keep in mind. So this is going to be a pretty simple picture. It's not a very long verse. And so he said, why even do it? And maybe you're all right, but I've gotten used to it now, so you have to put up with me from now on. Okay. I, Paul, aspire to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. So this was Paul's ministry plan. This is what his plan was. So we're going to answer the question here shortly. Should this be the ministry plans of our evangelism today? Okay, let's carry on here. Let's dig down a little bit. So, and thus could be translated indeed. I aspire, the idea is to strive to past. It's present tense, continuous action. I continually strive, I continually aspire. So you could say, it's literally, this is my ambition. His ambition was to preach the gospel. You know, amazing. That's exactly what God called him for. That was his ambition, to preach the gospel. This is what God called him for. So here's a verse that talks to that in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. And I meant to say, this is the same word that we have as ambition up here. Okay. So I aspire, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel. This is a cool word in the original. And it's one word in the original, euangelizo, I think it's pronounced euangelizo. It's to preach the gospel. It's just one word in the original. And it's almost always used of the good news. It's used in a ton of places, but it's almost always used of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, in the gospel, dying for our sins, being buried and rising on the third day. So that's this word. I aspire, my desire, my ambition is to preach the gospel. And here's a verse that speaks to that again. So for my part, I am eager, ready, willing to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. So that was his desire. And okay, here goes kind of his mission field as he saw it. Not where Christ was already named. Not where the name of Christ was known. He wanted to be territories where have unevangelized, unknown, they didn't know who Christ was. So that, or with the purpose that, I, Paul, will not build on another man's foundation. And the foundation here is, this is, if you will, this is the faith, the foundation of our belief is the faith, the truths once for all presented by the apostles. He said, the elementary doctrine and instruction of the faith. So this is a comment by Denny via Weiss. He says, he, Paul, never sought to preach where Christianity was already established, a point of honor, not of rivalry. Rivalry is involved. So Paul wasn't doing it to say, I can do better than you guys. This is what he was called to do, and that's what he did. So, okay, this picture, what's funny is Mike sent me this picture. So I said, it's a great picture, Mike. I got Jerusalem down the very bottom right. You see, there's Jerusalem way down there. I go way over to Italy. I'm looking for Illyricum. I can't find it. And maybe, I don't know. Maybe they don't know where it's at. But anyway, there's the line goes up in the top there but on Italy. So I don't know where it's at. Anyway, that's the 1,400 miles approximately, the width of this picture, from Jerusalem up to Antioch, all those lines. There was no legend on this picture either, but I kind of, from other pictures I know, that's all his different missionary journeys. What always amazed me, look how many times they retrace through certain places. Through Derbe, Laconium, Lystra, Pisan, you know. Anyway, a lot of times they went on the same path, but many times they went to places only one time. So that was Paul's ministry field. He went where the gospel was unknown. And so, okay, so let's carry on here. So now, here's our question. I'm finally going to answer it. So what is to be the practice of the church today? Okay, so we saw Paul's teaching about that was Paul's direction he felt from the Lord to go to territories where Christ was not known about. So what's maybe the church age focus? I think it's given here in 1 Corinthians 3:6. He says, I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. So you look from this here. So Apollos was building on what Paul planted, right? So Paul doesn't say that's wrong. He said, I did this, but then he comes back in Corinthians and says, well, oh, by the way, but what he wants to point out, however it happens, whether you're building on another man's ministry, the key part of all that is given in verse 7 and 10 here. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. And then 11 even amplifies it more. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of any ministry, any gospel ministry, that's the foundation. Whether you go to where Christ is not named, as Paul did, that's okay, it seems like. But it seems like in the church age, this is more the picture, right? I was thinking, let me add one more bullet here. So our foundation must be on Jesus Christ, is clear from these verses. But to me, it seems like it can be on another man's work in the Lord, or it can be the unevangelized territory. I was kind of thinking about Holly Hills. I was ratcheting back. I was thinking about, okay, here we have, I can't go much beyond Merriman. So we have Merriman. Then our brother Hal comes along, and he builds on Merriman. Then Mike and I come along, hopefully in Vern, and we're building on Hal's ministry, who built on Ron's ministry. Then amazingly enough, we got this guy from Canada who just loves what we teach and thinks we're, and wants to come and build on our ministry. And I know Andrew wants to build in our ministry, and so on. There are people, it's a wonderful thing to build on another's ministry, to see what God has done in that life, and if you agree with it, you're amplifying and building upon that ministry. Okay, so that's my sermon for the moment. Okay, so let's carry on here. Okay, 15:21. But as it is written, this is pretty cool. This is one of these sleeper verses that you think, well, not much here, right? As it is written. So I hope you guys are familiar somewhat. You know Isaiah 53? That Isaiah 52, a couple of verses before that, is what's called the prelude to Isaiah 53. So as it is written in this suffering servant section, which is going to be Isaiah 52:15, says, they who had no news of him, they, I think in this context, is applying the Gentiles, shall see. And the idea here is that a discerning, they will discern, they who had no news of him shall see, with discernment, they who had not heard, Gentiles again, shall understand, to comprehend or perceive. I'm sure you guys, you know, Vern Peterman loved this. This is Hebrew parallelism, right? To my looking at it, it looks like we got one statement, they who had no news of him shall see, followed by another statement which sounds very similar, they who had not heard of him shall understand. So the bottom line is they're going to discern or comprehend what Christ is all about. Amazing. Cool stuff. Okay, so let's go down a level here. So here, another little pickup here along the way. Not every but is a contrast. Not every but is a contrast. Sounds like Allah is a Greek word. So in this case, this is not really a contrast here. It's just more information. This is more information about Paul's presenting to back up his claim for the Gentiles. This is not a contrast, but more information. So but or Allah can be either a contrast or more information. As it is written in the prelude to Isaiah 53, which is the following. Isaiah 52:15. This is what's being quoted in our verse 21 here. He, these are my words, the suffering servant, you read the context, that's Christ. He, the suffering servant, will sprinkle his blood on many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. Boy, that just, it would be wonderful if kings would shut their mouth, but I don't know. Doesn't seem like that. Well, mouths are always going these days. Anyway, some do sometimes. Okay. And then here's the quote we have. For what had not been told them, they will see, and what had not been heard, they will understand. Okay. So Paul apparently, and I think this is Macaulay. I'm not absolutely sure. I'm pretty sure it's Macaulay. The Apostle Paul applied this verse to the preaching of the gospel in this virgin and largely Gentile territory. Okay, so let's look at, let's kind of go through it here again. They, the Gentiles, who had no news of him shall see. So had no news, the idea of news here is the idea to declare, to announce. It's typically of a heavenly message. So they had no news of him, of Christ, I believe. So the Gentiles had no heavenly message until Israel's rejection of Christ, right? We've been reading through the Gospels, and Brother Bob is consistently faithful in pointing out, hey, here's where they rejected Christ. Well, okay, the whole tenor changes. So the Gentiles are in view then. So without that rejection, that's why I think that they couldn't hear the news. The news was not to them, right? Christ said, I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So once they rejected him, the shift, it changed to the Gentile nation. So now they had no news of him. So then the last part applies. So Paul was appointed as apostle of the Gentiles. They shall see. Hurrah. It's the idea, it's not just seeing, it's discerning, or discerning mind. I think that's the word when I presented the Christmas message or Easter message, one of those messages where you, must be the Easter, you go into the tomb, and this is a word that, I think it's Peter, he rushes in and he sees, it says, well, he discerns something. He looks in the tomb and he says, he sees, oh, there's something went on here. Christ is not here, and he looks at all the stuff. He discerns something. That's the idea of this hurrah. So the verse I used here, Roger, you sure want to use this verse? You shall hurrah, shall see a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Remember, this is James, so don't get too, you know, works are to validate your faith. this would contradict Bob's message this morning in Galatians. It's by faith alone that we are justified. Works only validate your faith. Anyway, you need to read James carefully and understand James. That's another story. Okay, let's carry on here. So part two. And they Gentiles who have not heard shall understand. So they didn't hear of him, right? Until God directed his works to the Gentile nations, they did not know him or hear of him. Only to Israel heard of him. Here again is akouo. The usual idea is to hear. But it also can mean to comprehend or understand, very similar to the other word we saw. So in John 1:1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard. John's writing here, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and so on. It's about the word of life, Lord Jesus. So they were seeing, comprehending, if you will. So the Gentiles did not understand or comprehend about Christ. And that was a permanent state. Perfect tense here. they permanently did not understand. And that's totally, you know, that verb tense validates so much of Scripture right there. They permanently, Gentiles were outside of Christ with no hope in this world. They permanently were out of the picture. But God in His mercy changed that. Shall understand Him. Understand is to comprehend, to perceive. So in Matthew it says here, Jesus, this is a cool verse. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, hear and understand what defiles a man. That's the rest of the verse. Hear and understand. Hear and understand. That's what we should be doing when we look at God's word. We're to hear His word and we're to understand His word. We just don't read it. We want to understand it. Whatever it takes to understand it. Some people, if you have to listen to, I started out in my Christian life really early. I would drive back and forth to work. I had these tapes. I was overseas at that point from this pastor in California. I'd drive back and forth to work. I wasn't a believer yet. I'd gone to a Bible study. I'm driving in my car, listening to these tapes. This is amazing. I don't understand any of this. I was studying the book of Hebrews. My first book I read was the book of Hebrews. I think, Roger, there's no hope to understand anything. You start in Hebrews, right? Well, somehow the Lord, I'm driving along. I'm a sinner. Wait a minute. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, you've heard that story before probably, but it's good to know that you're a sinner. If you know you're a sinner, then you know you can be. Then you have a chance. If you don't think you're a sinner, you got some problems. Anyway, okay. So now the Gentiles, can understand about Christ because God sent Paul, and he started with, we read in the Gospels too. The picture changed. God went to the Gentile nations. So that's the rest of this. Now the Gentiles can understand about Jesus Christ also. Okay, in summary, from Constable. So verse 20 talks about Paul desires to visit Rome, and he explains that why. He desires to do pioneering missionary work. Grew out his zeal for the unsaved people. he wanted to reach the unreached people, and Constable thinks that he realized they weren't going to come to him. They weren't going to come to Jerusalem to hear him. He had to go to them. So that's why he wanted to go out to these nations. And in verse 21, he used that message from Isaiah as encouragement, the prophecy about Isaiah, which is described as the servant Savior. So that's kind of a little, not a lot to say, but so Paul desired to go to the unreached people of the world. So whether you go there or you go to the reached people, wherever you go, you take God's word and God's message. All right, let's close. We thank you, Father. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the blessings we have. In Christ's name, amen.